opportunity God has given us to live and to breathe today, what he has for us today. I want to open the Bible with you, Christian friend, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I want to read a little bit of the scriptures to you. See how the Lord will take it, use it, bless it to the edification of the saints. Is your Bible open this evening to 1 Corinthians 15? All right. Wait for the preacher. He's getting there. I want to begin reading in verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 15, 13. And of course, you remember we've been preaching. Now this is our third message. Because he lives. Because he lives. I want you to know that because he lives today, faith is commendable in the sight of heaven. And I'm going to preach on that by the grace of God here in just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, 13. If you're there, give me a good Baptist honk or shout amen. All right. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, if there is no reality to resurrection doctrine and preaching and experience, then Christ is still dead. And if Christ is be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. He's saying if Christ isn't alive, if he didn't resurrect from the dead, the preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, we'd be hypocrites preaching a false message saying that there's hope of salvation in Christ. And that Jesus rose from the grave. We'd be false witnesses to God if Jesus wasn't risen again. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died before us, they're perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if that's all that we are is hopers, we are of all men most miserable. Now I'm glad it doesn't stop there because the next verse says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And so he's explaining to his readers who must have had some form of doubt or some form of discouragement, some calamity was transpiring in their life, as we see here in our life, both personally and nationally at this current time. Paul needed to remind his readers and the believers in God that Jesus is alive and well, that our preaching is not in vain. Our standing out here today and preaching to you the Word of God is not in vain, it's not worthless, it's not useless. Are you listening, friend? I might preach for a little bit if y'all just receive it. You might get a blessing out of it, and I might be blessed out of this. He said if the preaching won't be in vain, then your faith isn't going to be in vain because Christ isn't in the tomb. The last that I checked, I spoke with him this morning, amen. When I got home at 4:30 in the morning, and I stretched my little short stubby legs across my comfy blankies. And I was grateful that I made it home. I blessed God in my heart and I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. You brought me back in one piece. I've got my wife still with me. My children are fast asleep, safe from all harm. Thanks be unto God. He speaks to us and he walks with us. And we can speak and walk with him. The last that I checked, Job said, my Redeemer liveth. That hadn't changed. The last that I checked, God still hears and answers prayers. Are you listening, America? The last that I checked, our faith is not vain. Our preaching is not vain. Our purpose to live for God in this life and serve him. This love thy neighbor as thyself thing. Hey, my friend, this turn the other cheek thing. This thing about prayer and fasting and seeking after. I'm talking about living for God. know that because he lives, salvation is possible. And I showed you from the scriptures in the book of Hebrews where the author of this book says that that Christ ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You come on up, brother. We got plenty of room. Don't be worried about that motorcycle. Come on up. Brother Stewart, make him feel welcome to come on up close to the fire. I want him to get hot up here, amen, where it gets under. Well, I want him to come out where the spout comes out, amen. Come on up, brother. And I want to welcome you here. And so I preach that salvation is possible simply because he lives. If he was dead, there wouldn't be no point in preaching salvation. But we know that there is. And there's plenty of people out here today that are living, breathing, walking miracle witnesses of salvation simply because he lives. And they're the example of it. And then I preached last Sunday that because he lives, I said that scripture is powerful. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Simply because he lives, this book lives. The living word is alive today. That's Jesus Christ. And the written word is his stamp of authority in our lives. And we ought to base our lives. We ought to base our behavior. We ought to base how we act and react. We ought to base our ethics and our morals. We ought to base even our laws on the word of God today. Now I'm going to tell you, because he lives, your faith is commendable, Christian. Now, I didn't get into this thing because I got permission from the government. Now, I'm licensed in 2 states. But if the 2 states did not recognize me, I'm still going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm still going to try to live like a Christian. Hey, let me tell you something else. If I were persecuted for my faith in Christ, I'm still going to try to do the right thing. If people don't want to do the right thing, that's their choice. But I'm not basing my worldview. Christian, are you listening? I'm talking to you, Christian out here. I'm talking to those of you who have Christ in your heart. You know that you've been saved. You believe in God and you love his word. I'm talking to you, my friend. I'm not talking to the lost. I'm not talking to those that do not have, as Brother Stephen talked about, the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of them. I'm talking about those who were dead in trespasses and sins that were made alive through Christ Jesus. I'm talking to you, believer. Our worldview and our values and our ethics and our morals, even our beliefs, do not come from traditions. They do not come from heritages. They do not necessarily come from experiences, but they come from the precious Word of God. Because he lives, we can trust in his Word. Because he lives, faith is commendable. He said, if he be not risen, then our faith is vain. When they find the dead body of Jesus, then I'm going to have to listen to their criticism. But Brother Stewart, they ain't found it. Because it's alive and well. And there's plenty of proof in the pudding if they'll be honest enough to take into consideration the realities of the resurrection. What is faith? Faith is simply trusting, believing, relying upon, depending upon God. How do you know God? How did you trust in him? What is it that he wants you to do? Is God asking you to step out and have blind faith? That's not the faith that we find in Scripture. The faith that we see mentioned in Scripture is when God speaks, you follow. When God puts the step there, whether you think you can make it or not, you take it and you get on that step. This is what faith is. When God says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that's the step. And faith says, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to have faith in God. It's not blind. It's evidence stuff. It's faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things not seen. When I trust in God and I depend upon God in my life, it isn't a blind faith, but it is an evident faith. It is a substantial faith. It comes from the blessed book of life. When you're going through the doctor and the hospital and you call in your prayer warrior friends Why in the world would you go that way? Because you have faith. You've taken God and His word that He does hear and answer prayers. And that if you need that miracle, then you know the one who has the power to work the miracle. That's God in heaven. And so you ask for that miracle. Where did you get that? You got that through the word of God. He that asketh, receive it. To him that asketh, it shall be given to him. To he that seeketh, it shall find. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Why do you have faith? Because God spoke it, and that settles it. Amen. Why do we try to go out and preach the gospel and knock on doors and invite people to come to church? And why do we do this love thy neighbor as thyself business? And why are we trying to do all these good things and these good causes? Why are we concerned with other people's lives? I'm telling you why. Because God was concerned with other people's lives. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary for people that rejected Him, persecuted, spit on Him, and pulled out the very beard off of His face. They mocked Him and they cursed Him and they cursed Him and they cursed Him, and He stretched forth His hands and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you are a Christian today, then you ought to have that love. Trusting in God, believing in God, relying upon God. How do you know God? Through His word. So then let me clarify it even more. Faith is taking God at His word. It is believing in God as He reveals Himself in His word. God says you must be born again. You must repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other method of salvation. Hey, my friend, you're going to die and plunge yourself into a devil's hell. That's the Bible gospel message. That's the bad news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, the Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that it is appointed in a man once to die. And after this, the judgment, we all have an appointment. We all have an inevitable meeting with God. And so Christ paid for our sins. Hallelujah. And He was buried on that third day. He rose again. That is the gospel message. And you will trust in Him. And if you will believe in Him, my friend, you can be saved today. All your sins can be forgiven as far as the... Oh, Lord God Almighty, I'm talking to you today. As far as the east is from the west, my friend. I don't care how bad you may have sinned this week. If you'll place your faith and trust in Christ, you can be saved today. Now, I didn't inspect this trailer before I got on it, Brother Stewart. I didn't come out here with a nail gun, a screw gun. I didn't come out here with a tape measure. I didn't ask somebody that weighed 200 pounds, see, step right here. 250, somebody that's 250, step right here. Somebody that's 300 pounds, step right here. Somebody that's around my weight, which I'm not going to divulge at this time, you step right here. No, I just had faith. I looked at it, I saw it, and I trusted it, that it would hold me up and it wouldn't cave me under. And by the grace of God, it's held me up. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has not failed me in my life. He has not dropped the ball in my life, my friend. I don't care what the world does. I'm going to follow Christ. And you are too well. What is faith? You can give us your creeds and your can'ts and your chants all day long. Faith is trusting, believing in, relying upon, depending upon. I believe it involves obeying God's word. Now let me get into some things. Now that we've laid that premise, wouldn't you all agree that that is what it is? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches faith as being. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is existing. That he is everything and everything he said he is. You must believe that. That's faith. Faith is when you don't understand how and why, but God says, just follow what I say, and you do it. That is faith. Faith does not always mean your feelings are going to be involved. Sometimes faith has to step outside of the feelings, and it has to step outside of your emotions. And faith says, if you're not going to join me emotions, then you're just going to have to fall behind, because I'm pressing onward with God, looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why does it matter that I have faith? What's the big deal about it? Well, think about it. When you get married, you're going to need faith. You're going to need faith in each other, yeah, but you're going to need faith in God. Because there's going to come some times when you don't love the person that you're married to. Don't everybody honk at the same time. There's going to come some times when you're going to want to pull each other's hair out. And all this coronavirus, if it ain't taught us anything else, oh, we get short-winded with one another, don't we? Well, then his jaw pops when he chews, and man, that drives you up the wall. Or she does this certain thing, man, and she don't involve you in any decision-making. She just does her own thing. Y'all getting quiet out there. I know I'm relating the message to you. You're going to need faith. You're going to need love. You're going to need to obey God. You're going to have to do your faith part and trust that your partner in the Christian marriage will do their faith part. Amen. It takes two to dance with God. Amen. A threefold cord is not easily broken. When I got married, we got married at the altar. We said, God, please be pleased with our decision to unite in Christian marriage until death do us part. Whether I dry up and shrivel up and die on her, she'll be faithful to me. And if she dries up and shrivels up against me, I ought to be faithful to her. And I thank God in heaven above that he instilled that Christian value in my heart. Why do you believe that way? Well, because it's in the Bible. My faith isn't based on my worldviews. It's not based upon my opinion. It isn't based upon my preferences. And it certainly never will be based upon any government issues to my life. And it shouldn't to yours either. Our faith is based in the book. Here's the verse. Husbands, love your wives. What are you going to do with that? You're going to need faith. Bible says to love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. So I'm to love her, give myself for her. Y'all getting the message? You see how important faith is in the marriage? The Bible says that the wife is to submit unto her own husband. She is to respect him. There ought to be a mutual respect in the marriage, in the home. Y'all listening today? I'm telling you what, if Satan has attacked anything in America, he has attacked the home. He has attacked the father. He has attacked the mother. And y'all see it in the newspaper and you wonder, where were the parents? Where was the father? And if you read the statistics, it starts in the home. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to stand before God and God say, why didn't you talk about faith in the home? Why didn't you preach about faith in marriage? I want to stand before God and say, Lord, I wasn't perfect, but I tried to preach the faith of the gospel. And I'm trying to show where the rubber meets the road, Lord God Almighty. How about faith in your job? Why does it matter? Because when everybody else is cussing like a sailor, you're still singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Your faith is more important than what everybody else is doing in the Smiths and the Joneses. Hello! Faith in the job. When people steal, when people rob, when people loot, when people pollute. Hey, my friend, you ought to behave thyself as it becometh a Christian, amen. Would Jesus do that? See what I'm saying? You can't one day say, hey, I'm going to be a faith-believing Christian. I'm talking to Christians today. The lost are going to act a fool at times. That's just how they are. That's how we were. But as a Bible-believing Christian, we don't act that way. Because he won't let us act that way. We have a Holy Spirit living inside of us and say, don't you go off on that edge. You dial her back. Would Jesus do that? Faith in your job, your career. If you're a police officer, you ought to love your fellow man. If you're a Bible-believing Christian and a police officer, you ought to love people based upon your faith. Red, yellow, black, or white. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I want to be clear in my conscience with God. God died for all sinners. All lives matter to God. Amen, church. You don't have hearts of heart. We need to have that message run out loud and clear. When Jesus is going to call his church to heaven, brother, it ain't going to be one color. It ain't going to be one language. It ain't going to be one location. We all shooting up all over this planet. Hey, if there's astronauts in space, they're going to be shot up with us together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And if there's somebody floating out on Mars somewhere we've lost track of, Brother Stewart, they've been born again, praise God. They're going to meet us, and we're all going to join in that angelic host, praise God. Red or yellow, black or white, we are precious in His sight. I love that. I'm not ashamed of that. That's just my faith. That's what I get from this book, amen? If you're a civil worker, you're a preacher, you ought to love everybody. Are you your brother's keeper, Abel, Cain? Are you thy brother's keeper? You see what I'm saying? I think it's wrong. It's wrong to not love people the way God wants you to love people. Your faith, no matter where you are in your life, your faith goes with you. When I put on a suit and tie, I don't all of a sudden put my faith on. My faith, when this thing comes off, I still have my faith in my heart, amen. If I put on a badge and it says Officer 304, hey, then I still have my faith. That's just a badge. But my faith is inside and it goes with me wherever I go. I can't steal, I can't rob, I can't cuss, I can't murder, I can't commit lawless acts because God is greater than the government. God is the one I'm ultimately accountable to. People out here acting a fool, burning building down. Yeah. You can't do that if you're a Christian. I don't care what you believe. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you know God ain't pleased with that. Throwing bricks at people's heads. Come on now, what's getting into us? Lord, have mercy. Get your head right, Christian. Get your head right, church member. Now, I'm not preaching against you. I'm just trying to vent a little bit if I can. Everybody else gets to protest. It's time for me to protest. Hey, the word protest is closely related to the word Protestant. Protestant. You and I are kind of like that a little bit. Baptist. I don't think it's right that they act that way. Christian, don't you get in any of that mess. You that call Jesus your Lord and Savior, you don't get in any of that. Now, I'm not saying you can't protest, because we don't support violence. We're believers. We support love. And we also support order, and we support law. Ain't that right? That ain't a preference thing. Brother Stewart, that ain't a preference thing. It's a Bible thing. It's a Bible thing. I just want to do, I want to be the Christian God wants me to be. And I don't care what the world is going to do. I'm going to do what I believe God's Word tells me to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful you see some of these protests going on? All them true, born-again, Bible-believing Christians standing in front of the SWATs and the police. You know how they got their little barricades? You've been watching that, Brother Stewart? Imagine if all the believers, and I'm not going to throw any coloring in here, just Americans. Imagine all American Christians came together, held their hands together, stood in front of the barricade of the law representatives, and formed a line in front of them. And then the protesters that are, some of them are coming unglued and unhinged. And we stood in the middle. We agree. We support. But the world needs the church. The world needs the believers in here. The world needs our faith. They need God. Why do people act out in anger and violent and murderous ways? Because they don't know God's love. They don't understand the love of God. Why do people act out with such bitterness and vengefulness and revengeful spirit? I mean, such malice. It's into the bone because they've never experienced God's forgiveness. They don't know any better. Church, don't act a fool. Be the Christian, the faith-based Christian that God's called you to be. When you go to college, you're going to need your faith if you're a young person. Brother Stewart, that includes you. You're a young person, brother. You need your faith. You're going to need it. You're going to have trials and temptations. You're going to need your faith then. Your opinions and preferences, traditions, heritages, bad experiences, good times, bad times. Why is it important that we have faith? Because you're going to need it. You're going to need to know what you believe, and you're going to need to depend upon what you believe in God's Word. Now, let me give you a third thing. How should I react? We answered the question, what is faith? We answered the question, why does it matter? And thirdly, how should I react to this? How should I react to this message? What would be the God-desired response to this message today? The just shall live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith. Your car is designed to drive. Sometimes I get to driving, my wife says, "Oh, honey, no, don't do that. You're going to, don't push the pedal down. You're going to break it." And of course, us guys, you know, well, honey, it's got a pedal to be pushed. It wants to go. Hey, man, Sister Bonnie got that nice Dodge Journey. Praise God, looking sporty over there. It wants to go, you know, just push it a little bit. What do you think your faith is for? Use it. Apply it. You say you believe in God? Then show it. You say you believe in the preaching and the teaching of the church? Then get out there and do it. You say that you believe in the gospel? Well, trust in it and believe it. My friends, I settled it a long time ago. If my friends ain't going to like me because I'm going to preach the Word of God, then that's their fault. That's their decision. But I'm not basing my life on what people think of me. I know that one day I'm going to stand and meet my Maker. And I know that you're going to stand one day and meet your Maker. That's what I believe, you see. It ain't something somebody taught me. That's what I believe in this book. And that's why we ought to live the way God would have us to live. How should I react to this situation, Pastor? How should I react to the message you've given to me today, Pastor? It's very simple, believer. Live by faith. When God says you ought not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, faith says, get on it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hey, when the Bible says you ought always to pray and not to faint, faith says, come on, Christian, time to pray. You haven't prayed all day. When God says, hey, you ought to give of your increase to the work of the ministry, faith says, come on, Christian, write that check out, be a blessing. Obey God and do His blessed will. Hey, when God says, hey, that somebody needs some cold water, you give them a glass of cold water in Jesus' name. Faith says, good job. You did the right thing. Faith is trusting in God, believing in God, relying upon God's Word. It's simply taking God at His Word and doing it. I just want you to live by faith. We got some serious issues going on in America today. Serious stuff. And I'm not trying to overload you with all the things that you have, church member, going on in your personal life. But I'm telling the believers in Jesus, you have to live by faith. Act the way the Christian should act. Speak in a way a Christian would speak. Show the love of God. Have a holy indignation. Yes. Did Jesus ever get angry? Christian, what did it? What's the answer to that? Yeah, He sure did. When they turned that temple and they made it something that it was not supposed to be, what did He do? He went in there, the Bible says He was angered. But was it an unfocused anger? Was it a reckless anger? Was it a lawless anger? No. He got the problem taken care of, and it was focused in one place. See what I'm saying? Y'all getting a message today? I want to give you an opportunity to use your faith today, right now. Have you truly been saved? Is there a peace in your heart that you are a Christian? Is there an inner peace in your heart? An inner satisfaction? I know I'm a sinner, and I don't want to die and go to hell. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I know I'm not perfect, but I have placed my faith and trust in Christ. Has that happened to your life? Then, my friend, that's a wonderful blessing. Hey, then you ought to live by faith. We talk about saving faith, yes. But what about living faith? Day to day, hour by hour, moment by moment, step by step, trusting God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. That is faith. What is the response of the church? Live by faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I have tried, through my years of preaching, Brother Stewart, I have tried to show all kind of people, jobless people, wealthy people, educated people, ignorant people, huh? Old people, young people, General Motors kind of people, and Ford Motor Company kind of people. Y'all getting it? I have tried to show people of all walks and classes, Republican people, here we go, Democrat people, conservative, liberal, if you are a professing Christian, this is your fixed point of reference in a constantly changing world. This book, these values, I've tried to be that kind of a preacher. Nobody lobbies me and pulls on my shirt and says, you need to talk about this. God does. God hands me this book and says, this is your job. You don't print the news, son, but you better proclaim the news. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment and spend some time praying right now. Some of you may be getting hot. You want to step out of your car at this time. Just stand up there, step on the grass. That's fine. You want to roll your window down. I just want us to get comfortable. I want us to pray for a little bit. We need to pray for our world. Good night. We need to pray. Pray for all these different issues. I believe if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you won't commit police brutality. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you'll do that. A lost man might, but not a born-again Christian. I think if you're a born-again Christian, you're not going to commit protest brutality either. I just want to go on record by saying all of those things. The just shall live by faith. What are you going to do with that? Can't argue with it, right? I mean, it's just the word. Let's pray together. Can we all do that? Let's bow our heads. Everybody stop what you're doing for a moment. And let's just pray in Jesus' name. Help me pray, church. Lift up your voice. Help me pray. Most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, God, we just look to You as our Creator, our Maker, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Friend, the lily among the thorns, the rose of Sharon, the bride and morning star, the rock of ages, cleft for me. Father, we ask that You would just intervene and step into all of these chaotic things we see happening in America today. Lord, we understand that at the rapture, the tribulation period, and the glorious return of Christ, justice and equity is going to flow like rivers of water throughout this whole earth. There'll be a peace that we have no idea, a paradise peace in unity. And God, we ask that you would just step in and give us a taste of that right now. Please help our leaders. Please guide our president. If he's never been saved, God, I pray that he'd truly get saved and give his heart and life to Christ. I pray you'd make a leader out of him that you would see fit. Lord, we pray for our governor, Andy Beshear, that you would lead him and guide him in matters of faith. As he professes to be a Christian, Lord, we pray that you'd help him to live by faith, not just talk about it, but to live it and obey you in every way of his life. Lord, make a great leader out of him. Father, we pray that you'd bless those that are out there serving and protecting. And they're doing all of these things, Lord, at the expense of their life. All kind of different people. I pray for their protection. I pray for their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would instill in them this faith that we preach about, this Christian faith, this Jesus way, so that they would serve the right way if there's a wrongness in their heart. Father, I pray for all these protesters, Lord, that they would come to a saving faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd just intervene and step in and heal our country. Father, we pray that you'd bless all of our military personnel. We appreciate them and we love them. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Lord, we don't want anybody to get hurt and destroyed. We want love and we want justice to be fulfilled in the earth. And that's not going to happen without God stepping in. So, Lord, we pray that you'd ultimately, Father, help the believers in Christ to not become contaminated. Help us to be the salt that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to be the light that you've called us to be. Help us to extend that love, to extend that truth, to extend the gospel to those who need it the most today. Jesus, you are the hope of America. You. That's why we come to you today to ask you to help us. Dear God in heaven, please help us for thine own name's sake. Protect us from the coronavirus, Lord. We thank you for protecting us and meeting all of our needs. Such a blessing to have everyone here today. Bless our church, Lord. And may they grow and prosper and be in health. All of those good things. Until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. And we all shout it out. Amen.